Earth Matters, a weekly segment of environmental news.
Our demands may be radical, but the demands of the Earth are truly non-negotiable. Corporations and biology do not mix.
Here are some headlines for Wednesday, January 26th. In the 2005 Index of Environmental Sustainability, the United States ranked 45th of the 146 countries studied. Top in the overall rankings were Northern Europe, Uruguay, Iceland, Canada, Switzerland, and Guyana. Scientists say that female sea otters, which spend much of their energy raising pups, are unable to cope with stress and are dying from infectious diseases caused by sewage, cat feces, and chemical pollutants. In 1 month last year, nearly 50 otter carcasses were found, many in suspicious proximity to the dirty sewage outfall pipe off of Morro Rock on California's central coast. The National Academy of Sciences has released its long-anticipated report on the human health effects of perchlorates, a byproduct of rocket fuel and a common pollutant in areas near military bases. Perchlorates have recently been found in drinking water in 35 states, as well as in 93% of lettuce and milk. Philippines President Gloria Arroyo has suspended all logging and vowed punishment for lawbreakers. Legal and illegal logging is blamed for worsening the impact of recent storms, which have left 1,000 people dead or missing. Permits to fell trees across the nation will no longer be issued, pending a review of the environmental effect. And illegal loggers would be punished like terrorists and kidnappers, quote-unquote, Mrs. Arroyo said. And finally, a baby hippopotamus that survived the tsunami waves on the Kenyan coast has formed a strong bond with a giant tortoise in an animal facility in the port city of Mombasa. Quote, it is incredible. A less than a year old hippopotamus has adopted a male tortoise, about a century old, and the tortoise seems to be very happy with being a mother. They swim, eat, and sleep together, said ecologist Paulo Kahumbu. It's not just a theory anymore. Human-caused global warming is a scientific fact that only President Bush and his administration deny. The rest of the world is in agreement that the situation is urgent. But unfortunately, and not surprisingly, the U.S. and corporations have in fact hijacked climate debate and are trying to force a free market approach to dealing with the problem. There's a new feeding frenzy going on where the rich northern countries are literally buying the right to pollute in the new carbon market. And worse, they want to do this with genetically engineered tree plantations in the global south, which would devastate local communities and forest ecosystems. Joining me in the studio are Ann Peterman and Oren Langell, who have just returned from the UN Climate Change Convention in Buenos Aires and are the founders and co-directors of the Global Justice Ecology Project. Ann and Oren, welcome to Flashpoints.
Hi.
Thank you.
Ann, can you describe this carbon sequestration idea and explain how it is supposed to help stop global warming?
It's part of this whole carbon trading scheme where industries in the United States can and are buying the right to pollute from countries in the global south. And what they're doing is planting tree plantations in these southern countries to supposedly offset their carbon emissions in the industrial north in the United States and other countries that are the biggest polluters. And this idea has a lot of problems. The idea that trees can soak up carbon, certainly they do soak up carbon, but it's not offsetting the carbon emissions, which are very permanent emissions going into the environment, whereas the carbon stored in trees is very temporary.
And can you describe this carbon market?
It's interesting. After Russia ratified the Kyoto Protocol this past October, which gave the Kyoto Protocol enough participation by the industrial polluters to actually go into effect this coming February, 3 days later, the carbon market in Europe tripled, and the carbon market is expected to become the largest market in the world, reaching $60 billion U.S. dollars by 2008.
In essence, hasn't this even been considered the privatization of air now?
Yes, some activists are calling this the privatization of the atmosphere because, in essence, the polluters are being, they've always been polluting, but now they're being given the right to pollute. They're being given the right to pollute a certain amount of the atmosphere. In essence, they're being given ownership over that piece of the atmosphere. And this is a very serious problem and one that we absolutely have to reverse.
Talk a little bit about these solutions, about what they could do instead.
Well, the biggest problem is that there's no money. The World Bank after Rio, was charged with coming up with alternatives and clean energy and put more money into that. And instead, they've put tens of billions of dollars into more fossil fuels, more extraction, and so on. So what we're talking about is that people can figure out the solutions and that we need to start coming together as the grassroots all over the world to do that, to look at the clean energy alternatives and to actually demand and force governments to take action.
One of the proposals is that they'll be using these genetically engineered forests as a clean energy mechanism. Can you talk about these Franken trees, these genetically engineered trees, and why exactly are they dangerous? Why are environmental and social justice groups up in arms about them?
One of the ideas that corporations really seem to like is the idea of establishing tree plantations in the global south to supposedly offset their own carbon emissions. These are just standard industrial tree plantations, and they have a lot of serious consequences for communities, from chemical contamination from the herbicides and pesticides that are sprayed on the forests, to the loss of water for these communities, to destruction of soils. Those are just a few of the problems. So what will happen if they start using genetically engineered trees in these plantations, which many countries are interested in doing, is that you'll see these problems be magnified. They want to produce trees, for example, that kill insects. And insects obviously are the base of the ecology of a forest. So if you don't have insects, you don't have the animals that eat the insects, and you have a lot of serious ecological disruptions. Because the pollen also contains this insecticide, the problems that indigenous communities are already experiencing from inhaling pollen will be intensified. This is just one giant experiment that the timber companies are trying to do because they refuse to look at the problems. This is just going to be, like genetically engineered food, a giant experiment on all the peoples and forests of the world.
Who is doing this? Which corporations, which governments? Which international loan sharks do we have to thank for this?
Well, the World Bank is certainly very much involved in trying to come up with funding for this. But surprisingly, another big player in the genetically engineered trees issue is the UN, the United Nations. And we're just finding out more about this. But it turns out that they've been involved since at least 1990 in funding and helping develop genetically engineered tree programs. We've just recently found out this fall that China has for 2 years been establishing commercial genetically engineered tree plantations, which are being monitored absolutely not at all. The possibility of those trees contaminating native forests in the region is not being looked at, and it's just a giant disaster waiting to happen.
And of course, being slower growing, trees are going to show these results much slower than, say, growing corn and being able to see that genetically engineered corn pollen has migrated into the neighbor's field.
Well, obviously trees live for much longer than agricultural crops, which creates a whole bunch of problems all by itself. The other problem with trees is that they pollinate for hundreds of miles. And then those trees that become contaminated grow up, and then they start becoming contaminants in a never-ending cycle. Pretty soon, you have a huge area the size of North America that's been contaminated. So this is happening in China thanks to the United Nations.
We were really hoping that prior to finding out about the Chinese situation that we could stop all commercial plantations before they started. But now it looks like the genie did get out of the bottle, which is really, really is a shame.
These trees are being grown here in the United States. This has not escaped the attention of anti-biotech activists who did take direct action in the year 2000, destroying some 2,000 genetically engineered seedling trees at facilities in Maine. Are other environmental groups, activist groups getting involved?
At this point, we have a United States and Canadian coalition that has formed, and it consists of groups like Rainforest Action Network, the Sierra Club, Forest Ethics, and others. I think what's happening right now, as more and more groups are becoming aware of this, people are taking this very seriously as a tremendous threat to forests everywhere, which is going to be a tremendous threat to existence of life on this planet, to be very honest with you.
The idea of connecting the genetically engineered trees issue and the global warming issue came about because the United Nations decided that genetically engineered trees could be used in these carbon sequestration plantations that we've been talking about. So we are getting involved by saying these trees absolutely cannot be used in carbon sequestration plantations, which themselves actually need to go because they are also causing very severe environmental and social problems that are not being addressed.
Yes, definitely. We do not want these trees to even be out in test plots right now. We think it just has to stop immediately.
So how can people stay in touch with this and help monitor the development of this type of industry? Is there a place where people can go? Does your website have updates on where things are going on?
Yeah, we do. People want to look at our website. It's www.globaljusticeecology.org. And we have different links to different groups, also including our campaign to stop GE trees, too.
And very shortly, hopefully either this month or next month, we'll be coming out with a video on genetically engineered trees and the threats they pose. And the video actually features Dr. David Suzuki, who is a geneticist from Canada. He is narrating the video. He is very excited about getting involved in this issue. And so it's quite a powerful video, and we highly encourage people to get a hold of it.
Yes, Dr. Suzuki does not like genetically engineered trees. He's very adamant in the video that this is a science. It shouldn't even be pursued the way it's being pursued right now.
Well, I want to thank you, Ann Peterman and Oren Langell from the Global Justice Ecology Project, joining us today on Flashpoints.
Well, thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
In Berkeley, reporting for Flashpoints, this is Amanda Bellerby.